Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. We're back with another episode of Gentleman's World. As I mentioned before, Gentleman's World's cadence has changed. The plan is now to have two episodes per week. There was no episode last week as we needed to get some guest recordings prepped and polished, and that takes extra time depending on the guest and the timing and the length and so on. So the current plan is to continue the two per week cadence for Gentleman's World updates. Please do make sure you are watching for the alerts if you have a podcast application of choice. In your application, we do recommend you turn on the alerts so you're notified when new episodes are posted. If you're not able to do so, the plan is to have Gentleman's World episodes show up on Mondays and Wednesdays going forward, unless if it's a major holiday, in which case we would tell you in advance. We're very honored and privileged and proud to announce the very first guest on Gentleman's World. We had a very pleasant conversation with Dr. Egypt Aradia. And I want to give you a background real quick before we get into the discussion. And just so you have the preface here, we have worked very hard to identify guests that we believe will be inspirational to you for those that listen to the show and want something a little bit different than the usual. Our format is unique. We don't treat it like an interview. We treat it like a discussion, a normal discussion, just like at a conference. And as a result, we kind of go around different topics and we go back and forth, but ultimately we want it to feel as though you benefit from listening in on a conversation between two people, and hopefully you get something out of it. With Dr. Aradia in particular, I hope that what she says inspires you as it has inspired me. Dr. Aradia's site to check out, which we highly recommend, is manifestingalchemy.com. Dr. Aradia holds a number of educational credentials, including a bachelor's in medicine and surgery, as well as a doctorate in naturopathic medicine. Dr. Aradia encourages creativity. She encourages spiritual and mental healing. She believes in plant-based living, slow living, self-growth, self-care, spirituality, and of course, just intentional living. Believing in your existence, continuing to accept your existence, embracing who you are, and not needing to live up to other people's standards. She doesn't consider herself an expert. Rather, she shares her stories and her passions and her motivations so that people can hopefully be inspired by things that have positively challenged and or improved her life. And people who have similar challenges perhaps can take something away for themselves. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Egypt Aradia. And we're live. And again, thank you for joining me on Gentleman's World. I want to start off with a funny story. I hope it'll be funny for you, but I want to start off with a funny story. When you reached out and you provided your links and your background, and I took a look and did as much research as I could in preparation for the call, there's a page on your site, manifestingalchemy.com, and the page is specifically multi-passionism, which I want to dig into a bit, but you have down here a photo and then high-level bullets of who you are.
Yes.
When I saw this, the photo, you bear a very striking resemblance to the youngest sister of my first girlfriend.
No way.
But when the call started, you bear a very striking resemblance to her middle sister.
Oh my gosh.
So it was like as time passed. So I noticed this and I said, okay, this is a person who also talks about relationships and talks about communication and talks about thinking and being. And there may be something to this, that there's this striking resemblance and maybe there's something there. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was a funny thing that caught my eye. And then I listened to your video where you introduced yourself and you sound like her. So now I'm saying, oh, wow. Okay, there's got to be something to this. There's got to be something to this.
Yes. Yes.
I want to, if I can, take what I've learned and I want to try to distill it down into something simpler, if I can. And sure. The point of this is to make sure that I did what I was supposed to do, which is to best understand you. Is it fair to say that you don't really categorize yourself?
I think you hit the nail on the head there for sure.
Okay.
Yes.
And basically you exist and you love existing and you appreciate existence.
Yeah.
And you embrace the existence that you have for as long as we have it. And you do the best you can to maximize it while we have it by centering your focus, I guess, is the best way to describe this. Mm. Is that fair as well?
I think you really crystallized kind of the essence of who I am or my thinking with how you've summarized it. Yes, I don't want to live by strict labeling or categorization. I see myself as a whole person, and I'm trying to embrace the wholeness as I live through life without necessarily trying to like squeeze myself into predefined boxes. Yeah.
I'd like to do the journey if we can, because I want to understand there had to have been a moment in your life where you had an aha moment. There was a blinding white light. Something hit where you said something, I want to change. I want to be this. And I want to get away from the categorizations that I want to simply exist. Do you remember when that moment was, and can you describe it?
Honestly, I don't think I did have an aha moment as such. I think it's something from the farthest memory that I harbor within me that I've always kind of had this niggling to. I've always kind of been different, let's put it that way. Even when I was like a child and teenager growing up, I didn't exactly fit into the mold of my peers with how I thought, with how I lived my life, what have you. And so I've always known that I was kind of different, like almost like I just didn't fit in. And when I was younger and growing up in my early 20s, there was more tension and traction in my life, you know, because my family, my friends, the society I lived in, it was like you had to like fit in. You had to, you know, choose a certain path and know yourself and do the one thing. So I always knew I was kind of different. So I didn't have, coming back to your question, I didn't have a specific aha moment as such, but there were times in my life that almost intensified that feeling of like, wow, I want to follow my own path. I've always been a bit of a lone wolf, but I fought that growing up, you know, into my kind of mid-20s. I sort of fought it a bit. But from my mid-20s onwards, like I'm 40 now, I slowly and gradually just embraced the fact that, like, I don't fit into societal expectations to the way most people, not everybody, but to the way most people think a life should be lived. And for me, it was very important, and it is very important, that I just live according to my own truth and authenticity.
One thing you mentioned was what I refer to as unplugging, the getting away from social media and kind of getting back. I noticed you do poetry. It's obvious that you read. There are art is part of your journey as well.
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about that getting away from social media part? And if you were part of social media, how did you decouple? And if you weren't part of social media, how did you avoid temptation?
Okay. So that's a few questions loaded in one, but I'll try and tackle it. Hopefully I can remember them.
No,
I've not really ever been heavy into social media. There was a point probably about like 10, 12 years ago, I got into Instagram for a bit, and I did that for a couple of months. And it was mostly, I was posting health related, healing related, sort of plant-based food pictures and things like that to share my plant-based journey. But I did that for a couple of months. And even then, I mean, back 12 years ago, I felt like, first of all, I felt like it was overwhelming. I'm a highly sensitive person. So I just felt like that constant data stream of information of, you know, scrolling through feeds, checking out other people's feeds. I felt like even though I was seeing some really inspiring and beautiful things, just the speed at which that information was coming to me, I didn't have the space, mental headspace, to properly process them. So I felt like on a level, this is just like frivolous and superficial. Like, you know, life is more than just quantity. I want more quality. So even then, when I explored it for a short time, I felt like, oh, this isn't for me. And, you know, like platforms like Facebook, I've never been on Facebook. I'm one of those people that have like, I don't know what to do with Facebook. I've never been on Facebook, never had an account. So just from that little experience that I have on Instagram and just one platform, I was like, this is too much. And, you know, I do sort of dabble in on platforms like Pinterest, but not so like I don't have an account. But, you know, I go there sometimes for like inspiration. I have a child that I unschool, so there's a lot of like homeschooling, unschooling kind of material and links through Instagram I would go on. But I just thought, oh my gosh, like this is just too much. It's overwhelming. I just felt like I can't do that. So the social media thing is for me, it touches into many things on a mind, body, and spirit level. Like seriously, yeah. It goes deep.
Yep.
So
information overload,
yeah,
and just an excess of information, but also the focus, not being able to focus, topical focus,
yeah,
into something that's substantial, that's going to have some value to a person.
Yes.
One statement you made on your site, again, manifestingalchemy.com, that resonated with me because a boss once said this to me: not all of us are meant to be specialists. Now, I would say in my craft, which is technology, we almost are forced to be specialists in something, whether that's a specific technology or project management or analysis or management. There's something we must specialize in just to survive.
Yes.
Because it's a dog-eat-dog type world.
Yes.
But you, again, pretty much, I don't want to say are against it, but you purposely avoid trying to do that, trying to be that and simply exist. Mm-hmm. What would you say to people that are like me, where they've had or they felt like they've had no choice but to be a specialist, mm-hmm, and ways that you can not fall into that trap? What would you recommend to those people?
Great question. Well, a few things, and I'm only sharing from my own, you know, personal experience.
Sure.
I would say one thing would just be very mindful of how one uses their time and how they curate their experiences. For instance, like somebody might have a day job that, you know, they have to do it, like you said, to survive, to pay the bills and what have you. And that's fine. I'm not necessarily, unless you're inclined to do that and you have resources that are already set up to help you, I'm not necessarily one for like, quit your day job and just follow your passions, because like,
right,
your passions may not instantly support you financially and, you know, support people who are maybe dependent on you, even if that's just a pet, right? So I would say just be mindful of how you use your time, because I know people and lots of people who are like, oh, like I would love to pursue this side project. I'd like to get into poetry, pottery, crafts, you know, like learning a new language, whatever. But because of my job and I'm tired, and when I come home, I don't have the time. And in the weekend, they're spending 6 hours on Netflix, you know, or they're spending 3 hours on social media, right? So I'm like, you would be, it's very interesting to see how much, because everybody, I say like really everybody on earth has the same amount of time. Some people have access to the resources that they can outsource their time, or they can outsource their activity to other people and use other people's times, right? Because they have the means, they have the money to pay them. So being mindful of how you use your time, sometimes to pursue a side project or a side hustle to nurture a passion, even if it's not for financial gain, take a couple extra focused hours in your day or in your week. But then when we're filling it with things like social media, to excess social media, because I'm not like, there is good to social media for sure, connections and what have you, excess social media, excess consumption. And when I say consumption, it's things like mental consumptions. It's like a lot of the TV, a lot of the Netflix, and, you know, excess consumption. When we actually cut down on those activities, we find that we suddenly have much more quality time available. So that's one aspect. And also, like, another thing I would be like for people to reexamine their whys in life. It's coming back to this, you know, notion of living more reflective and a more mindful life, we're so busy in life and on the go. We don't have the time and space to reflect on our core values in life. And sometimes creating a little bit of time and space to do that, either via, you know, saying no to social engagements or saying no to commitments that you shouldn't be owning in the first place, or having time for things like meditation, journaling, you know, something like that, that would get someone more in touch with their values and their whys. A lot of things can be birthed out of that, and it brings more mindfulness to somebody's life. So those are just like some things that I would say. Yeah.
With the time and availability of time, and it harkens back, and perhaps you've experienced this at some point, but harkens back to when I was in my teenage years, in my early 20s. And back then, of course, we would talk on the phone a lot. And talking on the phone was, it was actually fun to do it, more so sometimes than physically being with the person, just because you weren't, the physical was out of the picture. There wasn't anything other than voice. Yeah. To voice. But you would often run into, when you say, are you able to hang out or go somewhere while I'm busy? I'm occupied, don't have time. There's usually an excuse. And sometimes the excuse is a valid one. Perhaps you have to go pick somebody up, or perhaps you have to be with an elderly person or something. Sometimes it's valid. Sometimes, what I saw at least, was that it was used because there were things that were optional that they chose to do in lieu of spending time with you or talking to you on the phone. And I would call it out and say, well, wait a minute. You said that you don't have time, but I know that you're going to Sam Goody to pick up some music.
Yes.
Can't you go to Sam Goody a little bit later? Or perhaps I can go with you. And it's like, no. Mm. The reason I tell that story is because a lot of times I think people create their own schedule for their own reasons.
Yes.
That says, I have a groove, I have a flow that works for me, and I don't want anything to disrupt what I've planned. Yes. For myself. But from my perspective, and the reason I'm going there is I want to ask you, from my perspective, this feels exclusionary rather than inclusionary, that we are excluding people that we should include in our lives. And when we actively do it, like we intentionally do it, it feels like we disconnect. We lose that connection that's critical to maintain any level of relationship, whether it's a friend, whether it's a romantic, etc., because we're not trying, if that makes sense.
Yes.
What are your thoughts on that?
That's very interesting. That's a very interesting observation. And it's one that I agree with to a large extent. It's almost like, and that comes back to also, I think, because I'm trying to practice minimalism and simplify my life, right? And that comes back to the notion of like priorities, I guess, you know. And I just think also the way society is going, or at least Westernized society, because that's what I have experience of, it's becoming almost like a cultural expectation or cultural norm to, you know, constantly being busy and not being that focused on forging strong human-to-human, heart-to-heart relationships, because we're busy building careers, chasing money, you know, and that consumerist kind of, whale of purchasing, consuming things, where like human connection is almost like, it's not glamorous these days. I don't know if you get, it's not, you know, for the most part. I mean, obviously people still love their families and friends and stuff like that, but on a kind of social level, like what we see on things like with the media and TV and social media, it's like about what you have, what you're doing, how famous you are, how your career is doing. How many times do we see like the news or social media and things like that about like who people are and the connections they're making, the communities they're building? It's not seen as glamorous, you know, which I think is a sad reality that we exist in, because ultimately human heart-to-heart connection and building relationships, be it platonic, romantic, or whichever type of relationship, is one of the most important things to live in a life of fulfillment and meaning, you know?
Yeah, I would agree with that. And the reason that came to mind just now, recently I was reaching out because of COVID mostly, but recently I was reaching out to old friends that I've in some cases haven't talked to in 10, 15, in one case, 20 years.
Wow.
And these are people that in one case, I would speak to him on the phone pretty much every day for at least an hour. And he's kind of like a younger brother. And we had a, and I think we still do, but there was a connection that was lost, I think, for two reasons. One, he had gone into the military, so that took him overseas for a while. But also, he built a family, created a family, and he has kids now and his significant other, and he's working. And so I can specifically say that he is busy. I can specifically say that there's nothing that, there's nothing, I can't fault him for what he needed to do to move forward in life. He's been through a lot when he was a, kid, and I watched all of what he went through. He went through a lot, came out stronger. Then there are other friends where I know for a fact that they're not busy in the traditional sense, but they're occupying themselves with something else that's of different interest. No problem. But I look to see if I just make the call that I'm checking up on you and you're okay and COVID didn't affect you or somebody close to you. And I at least expect that there's that recognition that, hey, you know what? We haven't talked in a while and this person cared enough to reach out in a time of problem. And I don't sense that from some folks. And so for me, my frustration has always been, in general, decline of relationships and how much harder it is to build them. But more importantly, when they're already there and you know they're there, it's there's no chain between you and that other person anymore, which in some cases is good. But in other cases, you feel disconnected from what you had and you wonder, is it something that you did, which you know it probably isn't, but you feel it. You feel like, did I do something that caused that? Or are there things I don't know about, which would make me concerned as somebody who cares for people? So I would be shocked if the vast majority of people who would listen didn't at some point feel the same way that you've described and the same way I've described, where there's just a general disconnect. We are connected with people in a very fluid way. It's it's a convenience type of connection. It's I reach out when it's convenient, perhaps, or that I'm lonely and I'll reach out because of that. Like if there's a trigger. The one person that I was a coworker with, and she's the only person, she's not the only, but she's one of the few people that has my cell phone number because I don't do cell phones heavily anymore. She texted me one day, clear out of the blue at like 11 PM. And she's married. She has kids. I know she's busy. She worked like two jobs. I know for a fact this person doesn't have the time like she used to because she was busy back then. But I get this text at 11 and I had told her, you know, contact me anytime you need because I'm here. If you need anything, let me know. And she didn't say hi. She didn't need to. She just goes and asks questions about things. And I wasn't worried. I expected that there was something else going on, and I just answered her questions. And at the end of the conversation, she basically thanked me because her friend had gone into the hospital, and she was she had to think about something else. It was occupying her thoughts, and she was so worried about the friend. She needed to reach out to somebody and just distract her. And she was thankful that I was able to do just that. But that is, of every friend I can think of across history, and I'm serious, she's the only one I can safely say would do that, that kind of outreach. And that's sad.
Yes, it is. It is. It's so, just the disconnection that's rampant these days. It's concerning, even though I like to say positive for humanity.
Let's go back to positive things because I like positive things.
Me too.
Nonlinear is a term that you use frequently. And I resonate with that because I've worked to try to be as nonlinear as possible. But for those listening that may not fully understand what you mean, give us a little bit more about being nonlinear, behaving nonlinear, having a life that's nonlinear.
Yes, nonlinearity, that's an interesting one. So how I see it essentially is it's thinking through situations or working through problems in a non-lateral, sort of in a more lateral manner. It's approaching problems via trying to make connections between many fields that may on the surface seem disparate or disconnected. However, they each have something to contribute towards solving a problem. For example, I consider myself a nonlinear thinker. I guess I do quite a few things. Primarily, one of the major things I do, I work in the healing arts, let's put it that way. But how I see healing, for example, healing for me, like true healing, I think there's two ways of healing. There's one, it's like focus heavily on the body. And that's what a lot of the healthcare is focused on. It's very focused heavily on the body. But for me, true healing is addressing challenges in your mind, body, spirit, and your environment for true healing to occur, like true healing. So when I take something like true healing, I look at the many aspects of our lives that can contribute towards that. For example, I'm a physician poet. I'm a physician and I'm also a poet. On the surface of it, it may seem like none of those things are connected. Let's take it, you know, in relation to healing, like poetry and healing. No, that's not connected. Okay, people get it when you say you're a physician, that's connected. But for me, some of us have ailments or challenges that is almost like a sickness in our soul. It's a soul sickness. Or we have emotional disharmony that like no medication or supplement can fix. We need things like we need avenues to express our creativity, or we need more beauty in our lives to bring more balance and serenity into our lives. And that is what will nurture us. So having contact with the arts be through visual arts, could be through dance, it could be through poetry, either reading poetry or writing poetry. That gives us a sense of well-being. So I really like the world. I move away from healthcare and I like the word well-being, because to me there are two different things, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have no physical aches and pains, no physical ailments, but your spirit is not settled. You feel emotionally disturbed and there's no diagnosis, but you just don't feel settled. But there are certain practices that we can have in our life. For example, you know, having regular appreciation or interaction with the arts, or through spending time in nature, or through nurturing, coming back to the relationships, positive, deep relationships, that can give us a sense of well-being. So that's where the non-linearity comes into. I feel like ultimately everything is connected. How I see life and how I move through life, and again, it comes back to me being multi-passionate. Everything's like a web that speaks to each other, and everything is connected to everything else in a way. I think it's a Chinese proverb that says like, almost anything in nature can be your medicine. Anything can be your medicine, you know. Mm-hmm. Depends on how you view it and how you use it and you bring it into your life. So non-linearity is just approaching life in a not step-by-step manner, just seeing life through the different connections that can be intermingled to bring about solutions to challenges or problems.
Right. I want to ask you on this one, and the way I want to ask it is designed to trigger thought only of those listening. It is not to offend, because I know some people may have a question on the statement. But one of the bullets that you have says some people don't have a single calling, and that's okay. This statement, though, if we think back to school, they pretty much condition you in the idea of find your calling, and many religions condition you to feel that you will have a calling, you just need to find it. Everything that's society tells us that there must be a calling for everybody, we just don't know what it is yet, as opposed to what I actually share the belief that it's okay not to have a calling. Rather, you can embrace the journey of learning yourself. Talk me to, if you could, how would people balance what they've been educated probably all their lives, especially if they were in religions early and they hear the same, how do they balance what they've heard in school and religion of there's got to be a calling to tell them that it's okay to not have one and it's okay if you never encounter one?
Yes. That's another powerful question. I would say question everything. Question every narrative that you are, you know, given or educated on. I'm very much a questioner. I was always the one like, I would question everything, because really we live in stories and narratives, and some of these narratives may not suit our individual leanings. Ooh, or you come across a narrative that just doesn't resonate with you or creates a sense of tension or disharmony within you, that's an avenue to question it. And I'm that kind of person, like, I don't care if something's set in stone for thousands of years. If it doesn't ring true to my heart, I question it. Because, like you said, with our education systems, our even faith systems, it's very much like purpose-driven. Everybody has a singular purpose. Like, you can't have more than one. Because if you have more than one, then there's something really wrong. But then if you find yourself going through life and you're like, I haven't quite found my purpose, or I say maybe somebody has found their purpose for now, but then as you move through life, your purpose shifts. And I think it's a huge dishonor that we do to especially young ones and youths to say like, oh, at like 16 or 18 or even 20 something, you should know what you want to be and do and give out to the world for the rest of your life. I mean, I'm 40. I'm still finding myself every day, and I love that. I love the beauty in the unknown. Ultimately, I say it's more important to align your life with your values rather than just trying to hanker after a singular purpose. Some people really know in the depths of their heart that, like, this is my call and this is my purpose. I want to be a teacher for the rest of my life. I want to be a writer. I want to work right in nonprofits. And that's a beautiful thing. I don't think there's anything wrong in that. But there's just a subset of humans that just don't think like that. Nothing is set in stone that way. And just question the narrative. And also it takes a lot of, or even just a little bit of courage. Courage to walk your own truth, to walk your own path. And I feel when you walk your own truth and your own path, those that resonate with your message or those that resonate with how you live your life, you will naturally attract them onto you anyway, you know? So, yeah.
Right. Quickly talk about, if you can, because it may be an extended topic. When I say quickly, I don't mean quickly, but embracing oneself. One thing that I've advocated in past times was the idea of the religion of self. And I've covered it in writing at points. I've also covered it on the podcast. And I don't have a single definition for it because I purposely avoided definitions. But what I was trying to do is to encourage people to reflect on themselves and realize that the power that they have is already there. It doesn't come from anything outside or any other person. It's already there inside of you. You just need to figure out how to bring it out. From your own words, talk to me about embracing oneself for those listening.
Yes, embracing oneself. A big part, I would say, would be sometimes it's tricky to embrace yourself when you haven't taken the time or created space to know yourself. So a big part of that, I would say, would be to create some time, create space to, or practices that get you more in touch with your inner voice, with your intuition, with your inner knowing, whatever that may be. For some people, it is meditation. For other people, that is through creative expression. And that, you know, the power of the arts. The arts is so beautiful because artistic engagement in any way could be, you know, like what you're doing through this podcast. It could be through writing. It could be through anything, really. It's just expression. When we engage in expressive activity, it connects us truly deeper with our sense of self and our sense of imagination and who we are and what's important to you. So just creating space or engaging in activities that allow us for reflection, for self-reflection practices, that would be one thing. And another one would just be to really examine what are our own truths and what are truths that we have been or we've bought into from others or from society. Sometimes we take as our truths, you know, teachings that really deep inside, if we look deeper inside, we don't agree with. It doesn't sit well with us. but we take them as a truth because everybody else around us agrees with it or are living that way. So I think it's important to, again, it comes back to questioning everything and saying, like, just because something is ubiquitous in the minds and practices of others, does this sit well with me? And if it does sit well with you, you know, if it creates a sense of serenity and harmony in your soul, then it's your truth. If it doesn't, maybe truth for other people, but it's not your own truth. And it's important to me, anyway, it's important to live a life aligned with truth. There's so much beauty that comes from that and power. I find like you have much more power to go through life when you're living your truth, whatever that is, because there's an innate sense of empowerment that you just get from that process. So I think it's definitely a path that's worth walking down.
It makes sense. Perfectly makes sense. How then would people, because I agree with you, but I believe, have believed that, and you talk about it as well, that social media tends to cause challenges in people embracing themselves because social media tends to encourage people to embrace everybody else. It is, as somebody else described it, a megaphone that people influence thought and influence feeling and influence behavior by what we see of somebody with cars or a house they just bought or hanging out with a bikini out on the beach or something, makeup lines. And then we get into young, especially women, but young kids who are influenced by those behaviors. And we've already set the standard early in their lives that something is superficial, but it's what you should do because this is what everybody wants. This is what everybody likes. Can you talk a little bit, because you're pretty clear that you don't do social media, it's not for you, and how you feel about it, but for the young folks that may listen, how can they separate the two? How can they embrace themselves with the influence of social media it is honestly addictive, that some of them can't decouple from it. We'd like them to, but it's just hard for them for whatever reason, or maybe their friends are all on it, so they have to. How can they embrace themselves while still stopping that influence, if we can think of how that might happen?
Yes. I would say one thing is to have or try to forge a relationship with technology. So you're not necessarily getting rid of your social media platforms and deleting your accounts. You're still having them in your life because they have a role to play. But just embracing technology or changing your relationship with technology where that we're like the masters again. We're using them as tools to enhance our lives or to bring forth our values onto the world. We're not becoming slaves to them. And that's a very tricky line to walk when we're constantly with our phones and on the screens and checking in and thumbs up in and all that. And it takes a degree of presence and mindfulness. And that's, again, the power of mindfulness, presence while we're using these tools and these platforms. For example, we could use them in a way where perhaps we're tipping the balance of creation versus consumption. Because when we're consuming a lot with these tools, it's easier, I feel, to be influenced by what everybody else is doing and posting. And, you know, we're not stepping into any creative role. For example, you have this podcast. You're more of a creator. You're bringing something out. You're using the platform as a tool to share your message, your vision, your insights. That's a different energetic framework than when you're just consuming the information of other people all the time. Like once I wrote an article, I didn't even post it. I just wrote it. And it was like taking a break from opinion overload. We have this epidemic, if you like, of opinionitis. Inflammation of opinion everywhere. Everyone has something to say, right? Everyone has something to say. And when we're constantly in consumption mode, we're taking in the opinion of other people, but we're not creating space in our own minds to birth our own opinions on our own insights. So again, if to anyone listening, if you can perhaps think of ways that, like, how can you bring more of your voice out into the world via these platforms, by any platform that you choose to work with, how can you bring more of your insights, you know, that to me is a more balanced, harmonious way to use the platforms rather than just like, oh, who's doing this and doing that and constantly checking and clicking. It never ends.
Right.
So that would be something I would say. And another, I guess, strategy would just be having moments of digital detox, you know, setting aside certain either times of day or having a digital sabbatical for a couple of hours in the weekend, or where you just like disconnect, you unplug, you reconnect with offline analog relationships, or you take a walk or do some yoga, or just do, I don't know, even if you have to run some errands, like be grounded in the real world, because we're human beings ultimately, right? And constantly being like on screens and doing things online, it's taken away from our real lives. And let's face it, our real lives is offline, regardless of how glamorous these online interfaces may be. Just digital detoxing, periodic, it could be like, you know, once a week or a few hours a day or once every 3 months, whatever suits your lifestyle and routines. Yeah.
Yep, that makes sense. So we're almost at time. I would like to ask you one last question, and this is near and dear to my heart specifically. Relationships have been a challenge, I think, for a lot of people, not just because of technology, but just in general. And we touched on it, the disconnect. But there's also misunderstanding, I think, from the expectations of the relationship, that people they're not clear with each other about what they expect from the other person. In whether it's romantic or friendship, work, doesn't matter. Each side has an expectation. And I don't think we communicate that expectation to the other in a way that we can work together. And this came to me because I had an episode I covered on the podcast about, I had to realize that I needed to draw a line between whether I was in love with somebody versus having love for people. For me, it was more important that I have love for people because my expectations would never be met. When I was younger, I didn't accept that. I didn't think that it couldn't happen. I felt like, yep, I can make a relationship work and it'll always work and I'll just compromise. But it was always kind of a rat race. We were chasing. I suspect others may feel the same, that you chase a relationship and you're never satisfied. Can you talk briefly about that challenge of coming together, being on the same page, being one, and what are some suggestions people might take to make that easier?
Yes, beautifully. I would say it comes back to, I guess, that notion. It's a notion that we have sometimes of, or this popular belief is like, you know, you meet somebody and I'm talking more on the romantic relationships, just to clarify. You meet somebody and they're going to be the person that like fulfills you, that completes you, gives you a deeper sense of meaning, that completes you, makes you whole, if you like. And as beautiful as that may sound, I think it's one that's it's a very toxic notion. I think it's more important that like each of us individually nurture our own selves of sense of feeling whole, feeling that we are whole and complete people, and that we are worthy of love in of ourselves, just existing. And then each person that comes into that relationship is just sharing their wholeness with each other. They don't necessarily need that other person in their life to make them feel complete, but it's an added bonus, if you like. So that removes that energy of chase and that energy of unmet expectations. Because ultimately, I think that deeper sense of love can only really come, I'm spiritual, so I think can only really come from our connection with divinity or the universe or whichever belief systems people align with, and can only really come when we fully harbor a sense of self-love. And that can be very difficult. It can almost be like boring. Why have to go through all the like inner work and shadow work and reflective practices and work in yourself and nurture your own sense of self-love when you can just find someone to externally make you feel good? So that's what I would say. Yeah.
No, I love that. That's awesome. Do me a favor if you would, because this has been a very enchanting and enlightening conversation, and I've appreciated speaking with you. Do me a favor, if you would, take us home. Let everybody know anything. This is, the floor is yours. Let us know how we can find you and anything that you'd like them to know about you as we close.
Thank you. I really enjoyed our conversation. So my work and who I am, my insights and my work and my offerings on my website, which can be found at www.manifestingalchemy.com, and, you know, links through my poetry, my healing offerings and things like that I share on that platform. I think we've pretty more or less covered the main insights about me. If people would like to learn more, they can check on my about pages and just like feel free to reach out. I'm always open to like questions and further information if anybody's interested. Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you so much. I really enjoyed our conversation. I like the depth that we went into, because I'm one for like deep conversations, and I feel like we went there with you. You obviously, well, you've thought about a lot of deep things, and I appreciate that. And I also enjoyed your conversational style as well. I felt serious in the right way and relaxed.
Thank you.
That was good. Thank you.
I worked very hard on it. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Once again, that was Dr. Egypt Aradia, who you can find at manifestingalchemy.com. I do highly encourage you to check out her site and see what she's talking about. And I honestly believe that as you read her messages and you listen to what she says and you experience what she has to offer, I think it will at least partially restore your faith in humanity, that there are people out there that they're not always plugged in. They're not, you know, stuck in the matrix, as it were. And there are people that still believe in living and enjoying life and just experiencing. And hopefully that the storytelling has been helpful, just to hear from, in this case, two different people that have very similar but still separate types of experiences that they are sharing. Now, I do want to add a little bit more to the episode today for you to take home and think about, or if you're already at home, kind of kick back and think about and relax and think about overall yourself and what you do. Obviously, because you're listening to a podcast, there is some technology involved. You would have to have embedded yourself in it. But the hope is that you're doing so in order to inspire some creativity, that there's something that you really wanted to do and maybe never had the inspiration to do something. Back in my yesteryear, we were Bob Ross. We would watch Bob Ross paint, and it inspired many people to become artists. Or music was our muse, and we would become musicians. There was always something that inspired us to do something. And there, chances are, something within you that was never tapped, and you never got a chance to explore it. Maybe now is the time to really think about whether there's something inside you that you always thought about doing and just never finished it. So if nothing else, just consider, is there something that you have or something that you want to have that you now have an opportunity to contribute? We always consume. You consume the podcast as you are now. But is it possible that you can now contribute and in some way possibly inspire somebody else to doing something great? That is how I believe we as society can help each other and grow together, as opposed to what we currently have done, I think, is we've grown apart. We have let technology separate us. And instead of being a true, quote unquote, congregation of people that work together, like the old village concept where everybody is a family member in the village, we now are separate. We've gone our separate ways, and there's no inspiration like there used to be. And it's harder to embrace that kind of culture. It's just something to think about. Nobody, not myself, not Dr. Aradia, we're not telling you what you should or shouldn't do or can't do or any of that. We are not experts, quote unquote, and we just provide experiences and stories and things to hopefully think about, because ultimately it's all within you and what makes sense for you and your family and your life. I believe I speak for Dr. Rady when I say hopefully this episode has been inspirational to you in some way, and if nothing else, took away that we all have something that we contribute to the world, and maybe now is the time to consider what that is and move forward with it. Thank you for listening, and take care.